You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. And we greet and welcome all of you wherever you are. If you're listening out in a car right now, if you're listening on the computer, maybe you're some part of the world and you got it pulled up on the computer, we just greet all of you that are tuning in with us today. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1, and God gave this name of this program a long time ago, almost 17 years ago now, Raising the Standard, and that's what we're here for. We want to raise the standard in the body of Christ to bring us to a new understanding of what God wants us to know instead of being watered down in the things that we hear today in so many areas. So you heard the intro. We do a lot with the Jewish roots and Hebrewism, understand what God has put in His Word. And so we share a lot with that. And we're going to release ourselves to the Lord this afternoon for you. And we ask that you'll have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is going to say to you with all of this. And so we thank you for tuning in. And so, Lord, we release everyone, including Pastor Don and I, right now, to the voice of the Spirit and say and do what you want us to say at this time. And we just say amen to that. So, Pastor Donna.
And don't we have an anniversary come up for this radio program, Raising the Standard?
Yes, we do. Standard? July the 8th. It's our wedding anniversary, too.
Our wedding anniversary.
It'll be 17 years.
It's 17 years for this radio broadcast being on WCNO.
That's right.
And now it's also on the internet, so you can listen to it anytime on the internet.
That's right.
And actually listen to it live on Saturday at 12 noon. Raising the Standard, and then you can go back and listen to all the podcasts. There's a lot of them on there.
That's right.
If you want to listen to them, just go to WCNO.com, and you can listen to us on the internet. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're blessed to be here, like you said. I'm going to say hello to Apostle Roscoe and Apostles Roscoe and Audrey Walks on Andros Island.
In the Bahamas.
Bless you, and happy birthday
to Roscoe.
Brother Roscoe.
We won't tell him how old you are, so we'll just say you're
young.
39 and holding, hallelujah.
Young in the spirit, young and young man. Young and strong, strong in the Lord.
That's
happy,
right.
Happy birthday to you.
That's
I'd
what
sing,
really
but
counts.
I don't know if you'd want to hear my voice. happy birthday to you. I wish we were there to buy you a big birthday cake and give you a big hug, but we send a big hug in the Lord. Amen.
In the spirit,
and
to you.
We'll give you a call on Sunday from the church with all the people there, and so they can all say happy birthday. Well, I guess we'll try to do that. We'll see how it works. They have services on
Andros
Island.
That's right. They may not be answering the phone.
Maybe we'll call in the afternoon after church is over.
Yeah.
Well, you know, last Sunday's church was so awesome. We had a Holy Ghost revival last week.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, didn't we?
A lot of people got touched. A lot of people got prophetic words. It was awesome. Church wasn't over till, 3 o'clock or so?
About that time,
and it was just, you know, the Holy Ghost was in charge, you know, and the Lord's just speaking to us. We're going to start having Holy Ghost meetings at least once a month. I mean, you know, we have them every week, actually, we allow the Holy Ghost to move, just like Roscoe and Audrey, they do in there, and on Andros Island, in the Temple of God. Isn't that an awesome name for a church? The Temple of God. Well, we are the Temple of God, aren't we?
That's
and
right.
We are the church, so that is an awesome name.
Amen.
We could all call ourselves the temple of God. And we are all to be holy. We're to be holy people. Amen. And
set apart.
Seek holiness, set apart. Amen. For God, for God's work and his the calling that he has on every single Christian is to be holy as I am holy. The Bible says that, doesn't it?
That's right.
Amen. And by when you allow the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God,
to
lead you and guide you, then you will walk in God's
That's
truth.
Right.
And you will walk in his holiness.
And
you'll
be
actually
touched.
Walk in his law. Because the law of God, it's written, like I shared Sunday, you know, it's written on paper for sure, the Torah is, but you know, the Bible says it's when we ask Jesus in the heart, it's written in our heart.
And it's not burdensome.
You know, and it's the Spirit of God that leads us and guides us into all truth. So we must be led by the Spirit of the Lord in truth, Spirit and in truth.
Amen.
Worship God. Those who worship God must worship him how?
Spirit and truth.
Spirit and truth. So we
in our spirit and what in the truth of what he is and who he is. Amen.
So we do want to wish him a happy birthday and
to Roscoe.
And many blessings for a blessed and prosperous and abundant year. Amen. God
Amen.
Gives us abundance.
The blocks are coming in, hallelujah.
Yes.
To build that temple of God on Andros Island.
So if anybody wants to give an offering towards that, just
we'll
feel
make
free.
Sure they get
glad
it.
Glad to give it to them to buy more blocks. Amen. They got to maybe about a third of the way, but blocks, so they need more
just
blocks.
Just write it on the check. Blocks for
blocks.
Andros Island. We'll make sure Roscoe and Audrey get it. Amen.
Amen. If you'd like to sew in the next week or so, as you're praying, you know, we're going to be how many years old? 17 years
yeah,
old?
Yeah, we'll be 17 years.
So if you want to sow a seed 8th. To that, I think it's seed in good ground for. God has provided all these years for this radio broadcast, and we've never been in the red.
That's
but
right.
God has been, God's people faithful, and God always provides it. You know, sometimes it looks like, hey, there's not much there, Lord. But, you know, God always provides. Amen.
That's
so
right.
We just give him glory and praise for it. And I just want to mention also that we do have services here, Holy Ghost services, here in Stuart, Florida, every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday night, we have Shabbat. And we take communion, we have some teaching, and we spend time in God's presence, seeking his presence in prayer and just worshiping him and spending
some
time
wonderful music.
Soaking and getting in his presence. Saturday we have dance classes, so we have worship arts classes at Donna Stanford, not me, another Donna, teaches. She's a pastor. She teaches worship arts, dance, and Jewish dance, and different kinds of ways to worship with God, with flags and different things. And then we also have Bible school at 4 o'clock.
We're starting that again today.
Today we have Bible school at 4 o'clock. And the teaching is on?
We're doing these foundational truths that we need. There's a series of 12 teachings.
Today.
And the first six, the main ones, come out of Hebrews chapter 6.
The one today.
Today we're going to talk about the atonement.
Atonement.
Do we really
blood.
Understand what the atonement really is and
we
how powerful it is?
We need to
understand that so we can share it with people. Amen.
The atonement.
Because without the blood, what? There's no forgiveness
no
of sin
forgiveness.
Whatsoever.
And the
so
blood.
We're going to be teaching on that today for
it's power in the blood.
Amen.
I love, and people need it. We need to talk about the blood. You know, churches, we can't not just talk about other things. You know, no Reader Digest. You know, we don't want that at all. We
That's
want
right.
to talk about
or Life Magazine
the,
or whatever.
The Word of God, the blood of Jesus. You know, the things that pertain to our life and that we can walk a holy life and understanding what God, how we do it, how we
That's
do
right.
it by Spirit and truth.
Amen.
And that we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Wow,
sure
that
do.
Was this weekend. That was a wild time.
That's right.
God wants everyone to walk in the power and the anointing. And
the Holy
inspire the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. So I just want to mention then we have Sunday morning services.
Mm-hmm.
And that's at 10 a.m. till whenever.
Till whenever. So. Whenever God gets done with us. That's right. I'm never in a hurry.
Amen.
Never in a hurry.
You know, and God wants people to be able to hear from God. Prophecy to hear the voice of the Lord.
Absolutely.
See, the voice of the Lord is powerful. Was that in Psalm 29?
29. Mentions it seven times.
Seven times.
The voice of the Lord is powerful.
Talks about the voice of the Lord and the power, how powerful it is, how it shakes the cedars and,
That's
you know,
right.
the water.
Kadesh.
And the Kadesh. And
all the things, yes.
Powerful. Amen.
That's right.
And so I just want to mention our telephone number in case you'd like to give us a call. If you want directions, we're right here in Stuart, Florida, right off of Cantor Highway, which is the main road that comes into Stuart
off of 95.
From 95.
Mm-hmm.
So and the name of the church is called Spirit of Prophecy, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries.
Revelation 19:10
says, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the Spirit of
Prophecy.
Amen.
Wonderful name.
And so the phone number here, if you'd like to call, it's area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007.
That's right. Incredible, huh?
Incredible. That's good.
So come and visit us sometime, you know, and we'll be glad to talk with you. Maybe you got some questions. And so we know right now.
We know you'll be blessed.
If there's somebody listening to the program right now, Pastor Donna, that's never listened to this program before. So we greet and welcome you in the love of the Lord. And we trust that you'll have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you. But I was thinking about last Sunday, you know, Gary Brooks was supposed to have been with us. And we know that he had to go to the hospital. Nothing major, but they wanted to make sure. He's okay. We talked to him the other day.
Thank you, Lord.
And so we just decided, the Lord spoke to us and said, well, just go ahead and have those three meetings like we would do when Gary's here. So we had a meeting on Friday night at 7, Saturday night at 7, and Sunday morning at 10. And they were three amazing services, weren't they, Donna?
Holy Ghost meetings.
The anointing was there. The power was there. The flow of the Spirit was in the house. And so it was wonderful. And so
everything God wants.
Everything. It was a great weekend. I just bask in that. And we're trying to listen to the CDs again. Got part of it listened to the other day to go through it. It took three CDs.
A lot of prophecy.
Yeah, to cover all that. And Pastor Donna did most of the ministering, but it was incredible. The words that were spoken. People were touched, stirred, activated, moved on to a new place with you, Lord. And they just knew that something had happened. So we were
something
honored to do
happened.
Something happens every time we gather together in His name. It says where two or three are gathered together in His name. Well, He's right there with us. And His presence is so important. We need that more than anything else, to sit in His presence, to get out of the mind and thinking about this and that and whatever. Just sit in the presence. And, you know, He speaks to us, what? Spirit to spirit, doesn't He, Pastor Donna?
Amen.
He doesn't speak to our mind. It's spirit to spirit. And then once it does, the Spirit talks to our spirit, well, then it kicks in our mind to begin to think about the things that God wants us to think on.
And thank
so
you, Lord.
We praise God for that. Hallelujah. So we greet you again. We welcome you
Amen.
To the program.
Yeshua's
hope you stay tuned in for the whole hour. And we do have a book that we've written a long time ago, but it's available. We have it all the time. It's a book called The Prophetic Calendar of the Jewish Calendar. It's all in the book. It's called The Pictures of the Messiah. And we have a lot of lessons in there on all the appointed times, everything. Gives you the historical events that happened, and then the prophetic implications. And boy, is it powerful to go through all of it. And you have a full understanding of the Jewish roots if you get that book and go through and study a little bit.
So we do. Well, you know, we're not Jewish, but we have Jews and Gentiles in our
That's
church,
right.
in the church. And, you know, the Bible says the church is we need to be both Jews and Gentiles, you know,
worshiping together.
We're one new man.
That's
we're
it.
One new man in Yeshua.
Amen.
And I'm thinking about what I got. For some reason, my Bible just happened to open up to Isaiah chapter 66, and I know we're not going to talk about that, but something just jumped out on me. You know, God, we worship on the Sabbath, and God. We didn't always worship on a Friday. We used to have, like other churches, a Wednesday night service, Thursday
Sunday.
Night service, you know, and Sunday, and in the middle of the week and on Sunday. But God gave us, prophetically, see, if you hear the voice of the Lord.
Years ago now.
We all need to be able to hear the voice of the Lord.
Amen.
So he spoke to us and told us to start a Friday night
Shabbat service.
So we started, and it just turned into a Shabbat service.
That's right.
And the more we know about our roots of of the Lord, you know, the feast of the Lord, you know, we find out that God never stopped the Sabbath. The Sabbath never changed to Sunday.
Nope.
You know, Sunday is Sunday and Saturday is Saturday, and God doesn't change, never changed it. And I think about what it says here in Isaiah 66, you know, and we were talking about the voice of the Lord, and it talks here about the voice of the Lord, how powerful it is, how it even stops the enemy. But it says over here in 23, it says, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, we talk about the new moons
in the commentary book.
The new moon is always the beginning of the month, right? And many things happen on the new moon and also on the full moon. And it says, and from one Sabbath to another. Now, we're talking about things that pertain to the very last days, to
That's
the
right.
book of Revelation, right? From one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
See?
We're going to be doing this in the kingdom, aren't we?
This is going to be in the kingdom. Right, right. And the last verse is, and they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. This is, we're talking about the very last days.
It's with in Israel. Israel. That's right.
Mm-hmm. In God's holy mountain in Jerusalem. That's at right. Jerusalem. These things are all going to come to pass. So, you know, God never said the Sabbath was over.
Nope.
When we go from the Old Testament into the New Testament. So, or you call it the Old Testament, you refer to it as the
First Covenant.
First Covenant, and then
the Second Covenant.
The Second Covenant.
The New Testament, right.
So when we moved into the Second Covenant, when we start Matthew, they just didn't eliminate the Sabbath anymore.
They honored it all the time.
And they were in the Sabbath all the time, worshiping God. And here we see, in the very end of time, it's going to be from one new moon. We're going to be on God's calendar, not on our calendar. It's going to be from one new moon. That is our calendar. It should be one new moon to another new moon. And it's going to be from one Sabbath to another Sabbath. God honors those who honor the Sabbath.
That's right. And so, you know, the Sabbath was put in place, what? For us.
For us.
It was for us to rest.
To rest.
But it was never intended to be an argumental thing like we hear today in so many circles. Well, you have to go on the Sabbath. You have to go on Sunday, whatever. But if you read some of the Jewish writings from way back, the first 100 years of the church, they honored not only the Sabbath, but also the first day of the week. And that's what we do. But people aren't going to argue about it, but it shouldn't
be
that.
And they went from house to house every
day.
That's right. And the Bible says that every day is the Lord's day.
That's right.
It's just that the Sabbath is the Sabbath. And the Sabbath wasn't in the law when the law was given to Moses. The Sabbath was before the law.
He told him to remember that before he even put that in place.
So when you remember something, you got to remember something that happened a long time ago when Adam was around, you know. On the Sabbath, because God I'm sure Adam even knew about the Sabbath. You know, they spend time. They
so
knew
we
about
remember,
the Lord.
We remember about the Sabbath now. It honors
we
God,
honor
doesn't it?
And you important. Know what? When we do this on Friday, when we've seen a great interest and a great hunger, and a lot more people are coming on Fridays than ever before, and people are hungry, and so they're starting to know. And once you start doing it, you feel it. It's not something you just you know it in your heart. But you feel it in your body. You feel that rest that you get. You know,
That's
feel that rest that God just places over you. It's almost like being washed over with just a refreshing, you know, a rest. And you leave that Friday night and you just know that you just met with God. And that's what it's all about, meeting with God.
Amen.
And spending that time. And it's on Saturday as well. You know, Saturday's not just a shopping day.
That's right.
Or a fun day or a family day. It's a time with the Lord and with your family.
And we've known people that said Sunday was a Sabbath. No, Sunday's not the Sabbath. It's the first day of the week.
Always
the
has
Sabbath
been.
Is the Sabbath, and it's always has been.
That's right.
And so we honor that. And we on Friday night we do the Shabbat service for Friday night, and then we all take communion together and we talk about some things. And so it's a precious time to
Thank
know that
Lord.
That hey, we honor everything that God put in place with the first covenant. We know that, and then what the New Testament really means a renewed Testament, a renewed covenant that came, and how it all interconnects together, and God wants us to always honor that.
Amen.
It's not something to fuss about or anything. You do what you want, but to me, we're walking with the Lord every single day. We can rest in Him every day of the week. But He did pick out one day of the week to honor the Sabbath. And what's it all about? It's a pattern of what? The rest that we're going to have when the seventh millennial time comes, from the time that Adam was on the earth. We're going to have what? 1,000 years of rest here on this earth.
That's a picture
and it's the
of that.
Seventh prophetic day. Mm-hmm. So that's what it's all about. It's teaching us about the kingdom of God.
I think it's also a picture of the 7 years we're going to be in heaven.
That's right.
During the time of
Jacob's
know,
trouble.
Jacob's
all,
trouble.
All the mess
on
going
the
on this earth. Now, a lot of people don't believe that, but it's in the Bible. So
well,
I'm believing what the Bible says, not what man says. Okay.
So what
well,
are we
anyway,
going to talk about today?
I've been studying and reading some things about King Josiah for the last 3 weeks, on and off, and he's a fascinating man. And of course, we know he's the king of Judah, but there are so many principles we see in his life that we could apply to our lives as well, because he didn't entertain all the paganism, the idolatry, and the stuff that was going on in his day. And remember, it tells us in the Bible that in 2 Chronicles 34, they became king at 8 years old. Now, isn't that incredible to think about? An 8-year-old, the king of Judah. Incredible to think about that. But he had a heart after God. And it's interesting. I'm going to go over there and turn over there with you. We'll read a few things.
What an exciting thing. And
that's
eight
right.
is the number of new beginnings.
That's right. And so in 2 Chronicles chapter 33, the tail end of this chapter, we see what happened here. We knew a man by the name of Manasseh came and he was buried and all that, and he was a terrible king. Unbelievable how wicked he was. And then his son was named Ammon, and he's His son reigned in his stead at that time. And it says in verse 21 of chapter 33, Ammon was 2 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. But why did he only reign 2 years? Because the people saw how wicked he was, and they raised up and they actually killed him. Listen to this. But he then did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as did Manasseh his father. For Ammon sacrificed unto all the carved images which Manasseh his father had made and served them, and humbled not himself before the Lord, as Manasseh his father had humbled himself. But Ammon trespassed more and more, and his servants conspired against him, listen to this, and slew him in his own house. But the people of the land slew all of them that conspired against King Ammon. So they even took care of the people that brought a rebellion against King Ammon, because they honored God. And the people of the land made Josiah, his son, what? King in his stead. Now think about it. Josiah's father was wicked, okay? But now how did a young man at 8 years old, how did he have this presence and this touch upon his life from
tender
God?
Tender heart.
The tender heart. It's incredible. When you think about it, just unreal. So let's read a little bit here in chapter 34. It says he was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 1 and 30 years. So he became king at 8, and if we read on later in this chapter, we find out he's killed in war. And so he was king and lived for 39 years. It's incredible.
So 31 years he reigned.
He was king. Now verse 2 said, and he did that which was what?
Right.
In the sight of the Lord. That's what we must do today. Do
that's
everything
right.
That's right according to the word. And walked in the ways of David, his father. It means his forefather.
Amen.
And declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Jesus told us that. He said, walk that narrow path. Don't look to the left or the right.
That's right.
Now listen to this. Now it says in the 8th year of his reign.
It was 16 verse, then.
He was 16, yeah. Was yet young. He began to seek after the God of David, his father.
Man.
See, if we seek after God, we're going to find him. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten image. He began to see all of this. So when was this? The 12th year. In
He's
the 12th year.
20 years old. Only yeah. 20 years old. Yeah. And he started that.
Yeah. And now verse 4 says, and they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence and the images that were what? The images that were high above them, you know, they worshiped the sun and all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
He cut down in the groves where they were under the trees, where they worshiped these idols and these false gods,
mm-hmm.
and the carved images and the molten images. He brake in pieces and made dust of them and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. Here, listen to that. Isn't that incredible? He put their ashes all over the ashes from these idols and the things that they
built these idols on these high places, and
they burned it
and
they put it on their graves, didn't they?
Almost like totem poles. The Indians used to worship those things.
And then verse 5 says, and he burnt the bones of the priest upon their altars. Listen to this. And cleansed Judah and Jerusalem.
That shows you that there were wicked priests.
That's right.
In that day, you know, and there were wicked people that were leading the people astray.
The leadership.
Have things changed really that much?
Nope.
Since then to today, you see what's going on today, you know.
Yeah.
There's wicked people teaching lies about even the Word
even
of God.
Even the Word of God, that's right.
Even the Word of God, you know.
That's right.
That it's okay to live certain lifestyles. It's okay to do certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Where God says it's not. And he says those who do will be lost.
That's right. Now I'm going to jump down here to verse 7, but I wanted to mention this. If you don't know what Josiah's name means, this is an important name. Listen, this name was given to him right when he was born, so God knew what he was going to be doing. His name means Jehovah supports him. In other words, Jehovah's going to support me. And boy, did he support him through all this. We can see it all. And so if we do what God tells us to do and do it according to the Word of God, guess what? He's going to support you in those things that
and
you
Jehovah
do.
And Jehovah means, it's like Lord.
That's right.
Which means that, you know, he's not just a Savior. He's also Lord. So Jehovah, Lord God, he guided him in his whole life. He guided him throughout all these things from his childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And so he really worshiped the Lord God, and he was Jehovah in him because,
that's right.
You know, he worshiped God and the Lord, and he made the Lord his not just his Savior, but, you know, I'm trying to think of the right word.
He was the love of his life.
His love, you know, he just worshiped the Lord God.
He was, the total leading came from God, mm-hmm. from Jehovah, okay? He was turned over completely to God to do what God wanted. Now, verse 7 says...
It says that, you know, he knew the Lord was God.
That's
he
right.
knew that he was Lord.
Sure he did. Now, it's verse 7 says, and when he had broken down the altars and the groves and had beaten the graven images into powder and cut down all the idols throughout all the land mm-hmm. of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Well, I thought about this the other day. How long did that take him? He went through the whole land of Israel. Look how enormous it was. And they didn't have all the fast travel we have today. I wonder how long this took him to go to all those places and tear down all those idols.
And he's a young man. And I think about
That's right.
all the young people we talk to. They don't even know what they want to do in life.
That's right.
You know, if they would seek the Lord first, you know, God would give them and give them guidance and what they're to do.
That's
but
right.
there's a lot of people that are 20 years old and they don't even know what they're going to do. They don't even
That's
know
right.
what they're going to take in college. They don't. They're just lost.
They need to seek after God. See what
they
He wants you to do.
The Lord. You know, if you
That's
seek
right.
the Lord, if you seek the Lord early, you know, early, even in your childhood,
That's
you know,
right.
God's going to direct your path, and He's going to put you on the path that He wants you to go on. You know. Of course, put the Lord first, but maybe you'll be a doctor, a lawyer, who knows what.
Or
you know?
Maybe a minister.
Or a minister,
yeah.
you know. But, you know, you got to seek the Lord. He knew what God wanted him to do.
That's right.
And he wasn't slack in doing it. You know, he didn't wait until he was a certain age and say, well, I can't do this because I'm a child. Well, didn't Paul tell Timothy, hey, don't despise your youth.
That's right.
You know, and those aren't exact words he used, I don't believe, but that's the truth. You know, when you have God... on your side, no one should despise your youth or
That's
your
right.
or your age. You know, you're never
right.
too old to,
mm-hmm.
to do work for God, and you're never too young.
That's right. So the priesthood, remember, they couldn't serve until they were 30 years old, but a king could come and be a king at 8 years old, okay?
And the priesthood was finished at a certain age,
That's
too,
right.
wasn't it,
yeah. 50?
50
years,
so,
they could retire, basically, yeah.
That's not like that today,
no.
you know? It's as long as you have breath, you can do what God has called us
called
to,
you
do.
To do.
Always,
That's
always.
Right. Now, verse 8 says, now in the 18th year of his reign, now he's what? He's 26 years old at this point in time. When he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Messiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. So the house of God was even messed up in that day. And
mm-hmm.
so he called these people to do that. And so... Verse 9 says, when they came to Hilkiah, he was the high priest at that time, they delivered the money that was brought unto the house of God, which the Levites that kept the doors had gathered of the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim, and of all the remnant of Israel, and of all Judah and Benjamin, and they returned to Jerusalem to do what? To do the repair of the house. Verse 10 at the end, it says, verse 10 says, to repair and amend the house
the
of
house.
The Lord. It's incredible. Now let's jump down to verse 14 now, because they begin
Lord.
To do that. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest, now listen, he found a book of the law, or the Torah, of the Lord given by Moses. It had been it was hidden for years. Somehow it got covered up. Nobody knew it was there. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law, or the Torah, in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king. Now, this is what happens here.
Mm.
And brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. And they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord, and have delivered it into the hand of overseers and to the hand of the workmen. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book, and Shaphan read it before the king.
Wow.
Now this is what our country needs to do.
That's right.
They need to
read
up,
the book.
Open up this Bible and read it in some of their meetings and all that. Maybe things would
read
change in this country with the examples that we have. It's right here. This is all we need to know. Just like in Esther's day, remember? King Ahasuerus, he couldn't sleep that night. So he what? He had him bring out the Chronicles. He brought all the Chronicles.
That's right. Well,
see what's going on in this kingdom. That's how he found out that Mordecai had saved his life, and he'd never been, what, honored for that. So let's go on
it
now.
It shows you God's word never changes.
That's
Maybe
right.
it's been hid away for a while, but
well,
you know, now it's come, it comes forth.
We're finding
so
out here.
It's going to come forth in
right.
this day and this hour as well,
right.
because God's truth is going to prevail.
We find out right here. It was hidden for a lot of years. Now, verse 19, this is a key verse. And it came to pass, when the king... heard the words of the Torah, that he rent his clothes. That's what we need to have happen in Washington, D.C. Just to have broken hearts in our land for what we're allowing to be brought into this land. We have idolatry, we have false gods, we have all kinds of things. commandments of man that's contrary to the Word of God, the things that we have going on. The same-sex marriage thing now. We've got 19 states, I guess, that's accepted this, and they're falling like dominoes. They need to get back into the Word of God and see what it says. And so he rent his clothes. That's what they actually ripped their collar in that day. Now look at verse 20. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Ezra and Isaiah, a servant of the king, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us. Yes. We're going to have this in this country if we don't change.
Yes.
Because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book.
This is a word for today.
That's it.
This is a word for today.
This is it.
And this is how we need to pray.
That's it.
We need to pray this way.
If somebody open up a King James Bible in Washington and say, this is what we need to do. This is the direction that we need, like our early founding fathers did. And so,
but they need to pray that this revelation, see,
that's right.
This revelation will come to the hearts of people that know that we have done wickedly, we have made wrong choices, and the wrath of the Lord is about ready to be poured out
right.
on America if we don't repent, if
and
we
change.
Don't change, if we don't return to the ancient paths.
That's right.
You know, they can, this is so-and-so year. We don't do things that way.
Yeah.
That was, you know, 50 years ago, 100 years ago.
Yeah.
God is God, and God does not change. And so when he says something in his word, he means it. And so here, what we need to know is, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is going to be poured out on
right.
America if we don't repent, if we don't change. We are an example. We've been an example to the world for years. And everyone looks to America. But you know what? They're not going to be looking to America much longer.
It's changing
when
now.
When the wrath of the Lord is poured out upon this
That's
nation.
That's right. So you think about this, and here's a perfect example. So the king wanted to inquire about what's going to happen. What do we need to do? And so look what they do here now. And Hilkiah, who was this? He was the priest. And they that the king had appointed went to Huldah, the prophetess. Now this ought to shoot down some of the thought in the church today that women can't be prophetess. And the prophets are not here today. God has never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Women are powerful. There's so many wonderful women teaching today in the body of Christ. Let me tell you, I think about Audrey over on Andros Island. Praise God, the truth that she has. These women are powerful, and we need to hear what God is speaking through these women, just like we need to hear about the men. So here, Hilkiah the priest went to Huldah. She was a prophetess in the land, the wife of Shalom, the son of Tikvath, and the son of Hezra, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they spake to her in that effect. Well, that word college in the King James, it just means the second quarter of Jerusalem. It was near the fish gate is where she dwelt at. Now, verse 23, and she answered them and said, and this is what she said, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. That's what we need to have happen in Washington. A prophet go and tell them, just like it was in Nineveh's day. Jonah went and he said, if you don't repent and turn around and turn from your wicked ways, this place is going to be destroyed within 40 days. Well, what happened? The king was even a heathen, wasn't he, Donna? He was a heathen, and he turned, and so God relented from what he was going to do at that time in Assyria. But then 100 years later, they fell back, and of course, we know it was destroyed later on. But that king listened. So we got people in Washington that claim to know the Lord, to know the Messiah, okay? And so why are we doing these things? Why are we doing these things? Now let's go on. Verse 24. Thus saith the Lord. The prophetess goes on. Behold, I will bring evil upon this place. Just like Pastor Donna said, it's going to happen in our country if we don't change. There'll never be a true revival in this land until, I'm going to say this clearly, until what? We repent of all the things that we've done. Just like Josiah went out and tore down all those idols. It must have taken him a long time to get through all the land of Israel, tear down all the groves, all those idols and things that they were making with this paganism that they were worshiping. So I'm going to bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah. The curses right here. Remember in Deuteronomy, God told Israel, "Say, I'm setting life and death before you today. You obey my commandments, you'll have life. If you don't, you're going to have death." He says, you choose.
Well,
our country's chosen to go the wrong way right now. Verse 25, because they have forsaken me, he says, and have burned incense unto other gods and they might that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be poured out upon this place and shall not be quenched. And as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall you say unto him. Now look what God says to Josiah because of what he was willing to do with the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which thou hast heard. Now listen to this. Because thine heart was tender. There's your answer.
Tender.
Tender heart. Pliable in God's hands.
That's what our leadership needs.
That's what we need today. And thou didst humble thyself before God when thou heardest his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes, and wept and weep before me. Mm-hmm. I have heard thee also, saith the Lord. That's what we need to have. We need to have, a broken heart in Washington, where we've gone to make a major change and turn back to God. I can imagine how much time this took with Josiah to get this put in place.
And see, but he was a king.
That's right.
The people cry out. We pray. We cry out in the church. But, you know, God wants to see this change. See, we can tear down some bad things that happen, some what you'd call altars of Baal and things like that. But, you know, a lot of these laws that they bring all these sins into the nation, they come from the top. They come
That's
from
right.
the president, the government, like the king.
There'll be a higher judgment.
So the president and the judges, those 12, nine judges that make these laws that decree these things and change even the things that the people want, you know, that maybe the people want the right thing.
People pleasers.
But these judges, excuse me.
Making wrong decisions. We need righteous, godly, righteous judges.
Jesus' name.
So
Thank you, Jesus.
To make righteous decisions. But it's incredible when we think about all this. And you know, it breaks my heart just to think where we're at even today. And so we need to get back to the Word of God. And look what happens. It says also in verse 28 now, behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers. He's talking to Josiah, his forefathers. Yeah. And thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the king word again. This is a word right here about the catching away of the church. If we walk with God, we're not going to see. We're going to be out of this place. The New Testament makes that clear to us. If people just believe that, so many people don't believe that, but it makes it quite clear. We will not be a part of this because we are walking holy with the Lord. And I thought about this too, Pastor Don, as I studied this. You know, Jeremiah was a prophet in these days also, and he must have been really thrilled to see King Josiah, and he was there for about 18 years of Jeremiah's ministry, to see a king that changed the whole atmosphere and the environment over the whole land of Israel, and he put things in place the right way. And we're going to see what he does with all that. Amen? And then it says this. I'm going to start read 29 with you now. Then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. So the king's got an assembly like us bringing Congress together. Let's bring Congress together. We need to repent and do the things that we should be doing. We've broken God's heart. We've sinned against God. We need to hear from God. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the Levites. All the leadership was there. And then it says, and all the people, great and small, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. What covenant was that? That book we have before us right now, the Word of God. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant. Listen, a covenant before the Lord. We need to have our leadership in our country stand before God and make a
our
covenant
president.
That we're going to change and we're going to walk a new path with the Lord. They made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. In other words, to agree with it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. Now I'm going down to verse 33. The tail end of verse 33 says, and all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. Now we're going to go into chapter.
Well, I like this too. And Josiah took away
all
the abominations out of all the countries.
That's right.
That pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers.
That's right.
And you know, and now he's going to set up even doing the Passover.
That's right. Listen to what
things
says.
That they didn't do, yeah, that they had forgotten about.
Yeah, think about what he's going to talk about now about the Passover.
And we need to come back to these things.
That's right.
You know, honoring the Passover.
Amen. Now, chapter 35 starts off and says, moreover, Josiah kept a Passover in the Lord in Jerusalem, and they killed the Passover on what day? The
14th
day of the first month. This is the 14th day of Nisan. This is the exact day that our Lord in future died. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, let's go on.
Now, he's going to set up the priests.
That's right. He did all that. Now, verse 5 says, and stand in the holy place according to the divisions of the families of the fathers of your brethren, the people, and after the divisions of the families of the Levites. Remember, they were all broken into groups. So it says in verse 6, So kill the Passover and sanctify yourselves and prepare your brethren that they may do according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. That's why we honor the Passover.
So they started following the Lord and started following what the Lord had given them directions to do, to honor the feast. And that's why we teach on the feast. That's why you have
the Seder every month.
About the feast. Yeah. That's why we have a Passover. We had over 100 people come to the Passover this past year. And we have a Passover Seder. It's a picture. And also the other feasts of the Lord, you know, we teach on them, we celebrate them. God said we're not supposed to forget those things. These are the seven feasts of the Lord, and they are all show pictures of the Messiah and his return.
Absolutely.
And what's going to happen in the last days. Mm-hmm. When we see that pattern, we understand that, then we begin to be able to see how God operates through his word and through the feast, and God doesn't change. You know, we always talk about these feasts of the Lord. They're always cycling, you know. They're cycling. They don't just have it and that's it, you know. No,
it's honored every year.
It's every year. It's continuous. It's every year. So every year is a season. As we go from one new moon to the next new moon, from one Sabbath to the next Sabbath, we are moving from one season to another season. It's just a circling pattern. And so we need to know these, and we need to know when all these feasts happen, you know, and we need to know why. What are they for? What's the purpose? So, and God gives us these things. He gives us the understanding, the revelation to know why he has these feasts in order.
To teach us about the Messiah.
then we see, just to begin to understand when we get born again, you know, Yeshua, he's already fulfilled the first four feasts.
Amen.
So over half of them are fulfilled.
That's right.
And so we still have three more, even though part of those three have been fulfilled, you know, when he was born, you know, when different
when
things
he started
happened,
his ministry.
When the ministry started.
Yeah.
But we still have three more feasts that are going to be
completely fulfilled.
Completely fulfilled. And it may be in a short time. It doesn't have to be a long time. Those three feasts can be fulfilled in just a short, very short period of time, in less than somebody's lifetime, in less than 10 years.
That's right.
In 7 years.
Amen.
They can be fulfilled to the end, to bring
the letter.
Us right to the
That's
very
right.
end.
Yeah. Now, we think about, we're going to go into verse 7 here, chapter 35. Now, think about it. The land was been desecrated. It was just terrible. People were lacking so many things, like people in our country today. Mm-hmm. But look what Joseph, he gave out of his substance that he had. Listen to what he,
That's
verse
right.
7. And Josiah gave to the people of the flock, lambs and kids, all for the Passover offerings. He donated all that for all that were present, to the number of 30,000 and 3,000 bullocks. These were the king's substance, and he gave to the priest and all to do that. And now we go down to verse 10. It says, so the service was prepared, and the priests stood in their place, and the Levites in their courses according to the king's commandment. And they killed the Passover, and the priests sprinkled the blood from their hands, and the Levites flayed them. And they removed the burnt offerings, that they might give according to the divisions of the families of the people to offer unto the Lord, as it is written in the book of Moses. And so did they with the oxen. And they roasted the Passover with fire. Isn't that what happened in Exodus chapter 12 when they came out of Egypt?
With fire.
According to the ordinance. But the other holy offerings sod they in pots. That means they boiled them in pots and in cauldrons and in pans and divided them speedily among all the people. So all the people were to fed and taken care of.
Everyone.
And afterward, they made ready for themselves and for the priests, because the priests, the sons of Aaron, were busied in offering of burnt offerings and the fat until night. Therefore, the Levites prepared for themselves and for the priests, the sons of Aaron. And
none was lacking.
That's right. And the singers, the sons of Asaph, were in their place, had the singers out here and the praisers,
That's
according
right.
to the commandment of David and Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, the king's seer, and the porters waited at every gate, they might not depart from their service, for their brethren, the Levites, prepared for them. So all the service of the Lord was prepared the same day to keep the Passover and to offer burnt offerings upon the altar of the Lord according to the commandment of King Josiah. Now listen to this.
And that was according to the commandment of the Lord.
That's
he
right.
was just obeying the Lord.
What the Lord
imagine
said.
Imagine the time and the work it took to do all that.
That's right. Now verse 17 says, and the children of Israel that were present kept the Passover
at that time
and the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days.
That's
this was
it.
All commandments. And there was no Passover. Listen to this. And there was no Passover like to that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel. Listen to how many years that must have been.
The prophet.
Neither did all the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept. It
wow.
must have been incredible. I was thinking about the other day reading, wouldn't you have loved to have been there when that day
he
happened?
He honored the Lord.
And the priests and the Levites and all of Judah and Israel that were present and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And it says in the 18th year of his reign, when he's 26 now, Josiah was... Read it again. In the 18th year of the reign of Josiah was the Passover kept. Amen.
18th year.
And then we know there's a king from another country came against him, and he went into battle. And we know that he died.
You know, this reminds me too, Pastor Gene, that they were you know, all in agreement.
They sure were.
The people were in agreement. Just like on when the Holy Ghost was poured out. Those people in the upper room were in agreement, 120 people plus.
That's right.
But there was a lot more than 120 people here that were in agreement because it took a lot of work. You know, there weren't priests and there weren't, you know, the Levites and all the different tribes. They weren't arguing about it. They weren't having a discourse about it. No, they saw the power of the Lord moving through the king, Josiah.
That's right.
And they saw his humility.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you see somebody's humility and you see that the a true love of the Lord, then you will want to follow them. And I think about what it says in the New Testament, you know, we're to follow, people are to follow us as we follow after Christ. But if we're not going to follow after Christ, it's hard to follow somebody
who's, that's right.
who's doing the wrong thing.
You got it.
And the same thing with a king or a president. We're to follow them as they follow after the Lord and do the right thing and come off of their high, prideful pedestal.
That's wrong.
You know, see, basically they've made themselves an idol unto the like those high places.
That's right.
You know, like those carved images. They've become a carved image
and a god unto themselves almost.
And they're just, and they have a heart of stone.
That's right.
And they're like a stone. They're like a stone. And so they don't have a tender heart and so God can only move on a tender heart. It takes a tender heart that somebody who's really repentant and who really wants to change, not just I'm going to change, but not that's just a thought, you know, it may pass away.
So
a true heart change won't pass away. He cried. Josiah cried.
He sure did.
Before the Lord. He wept when he heard the words of that little book that was hid away for so many years.
That's right.
You know, he had a broken and contrite heart, just like his father David. And so he sought the Lord in the truth of the word of
That's
the
right.
word of the law. And so his tender heart was moved upon God's spirit was moved upon his tender heart because he loved the Lord and he wanted and he did change. He wanted to change. See,
That's
it's
right.
not we can't change by our thinking or saying we're going to do something different. No, we have to have a pierced heart.
That's right.
We have to have a pierced
broken
heart.
And contrite heart.
And so
yeah.
and he's and his spirit. Was. And so those people, all those people were the prophets and all those people, because, you know, different times the prophets came against other people, you know,
sure.
prophets came against prophets, and it was just,
sure.
you know, it could be just like a big, it could have been a brawl, an argument. But, you know, they all came together in agreement. It took hundreds of people to do this Passover.
That's right.
It took hundreds of people to work together,
That's
to
right.
work in agreement, to stay at their posts. You know, different
That's
ones
right.
had different posts. You know, things haven't changed.
That's
different
right.
people have different posts. So as we stay at our posts and we do what God's called us to do, and we all work together, then everything gets done. It's like the Bible talks about the body, all the members of the body.
That's
Every
right.
single one of them is
Amen.
Important, and we can't have. We can't work with one member or one part of that body that's crippled.
That's right.
It takes all
Hallelujah.
Of us to be in agreement with what the king. See, they could be in agreement with the king because the king was following the Lord and the Lord was blessing him and the Lord was leading him and guiding him by God's spirit.
That's right.
So he sought the Lord
mm-hmm.
and he sought the Lord with all his heart. And
yeah.
so that's how we're going to come into one agreement. That's how we're going to be able to follow a leader when they seek truth and they seek holiness and they have a repentant heart, a tender heart.
I see something else here about Josiah, honey. In verse 20, it talks about a king of Egypt by the name of Necho that came against Judah. Now think about this. A king didn't have to go to war unless he wanted to.
But Josiah went out
Josiah chose to go. And I think about our government officials. You know, they're not honoring the VA. They're doing these things with the military that they shouldn't be doing. And they've never been to war themselves, so they know not what it's like. And they're making decisions many times that are wrong, okay? Like these five people that were released in the Taliban and all that, okay? But think about this. He went into battle with his people. He didn't have to do that, but he did. And he got shot with an arrow, and he died, okay? But he was willing to go and show that he was part of it, Judah and of Israel, and he was going to do that. And then we go down to verse 25
He wasn't afraid to go out.
No. Now, verse 25
and
says,
lead the people.
And Jeremiah lamented for Josiah. The prophet honored him for what he had done. And all the singing men and the singing women spake of Josiah and their lamentations to this day and made them an ordinance in Israel. And behold, they are written in the book of what? In Lamentations. And I thought about this. We think about all this. Right after he brought all these reforms, reestablished the temple and all that, it says in verse 20, it says, after this, then the enemy came in. Well, when we do things right, what's going to happen? The enemy's going to come in. So if our country would make a decision to start doing things a new way according to the Word of God, let me tell you, the enemy would come in. I mean, he'd come in like a flood, but the Bible promises what? That God would raise a standard against it if they would just do that and would be prevented. But we don't want to do that because someone in Congress doesn't like this or doesn't like that. They need to come together. And we know Jesus made it clear. So he said what? A house divided
will not stand.
That means a house, a church, a country, a family, if it's divided, it cannot stand.
And what about a house that's built on sand?
That's right, sinking sand.
That's going to go away. What's happening to our coastline?
That's right.
Think about our coastline. Our coastline is disappearing. I mean, we live here in Florida, and I used to live on the ocean. There's places on the ocean where the beach isn't there any longer.
That's right.
You know, it's diminishing. And what's happening in the Mississippi? You know, it's in the... Things are happening there too. There's place things that are happening around our nation that, you know, we're just going to suffer. People are going to suffer.
Right.
Floods. Look at all the things that are happening. Look at all the storms and these humongous storms that
we've never had before.
All these things that are happening and nobody seems to see it. But, you know, he was a man after God's heart.
That's right. So we have what an incredible example of a godly man in the Word of God. And, you know, it's awful also over in Kings, but it doesn't go into detail like it does here. But to see a king, and his father was so wicked, you know, you think that influence being in that environment would have affected him, but it didn't. He had a tender heart, and he was wanting to do what God wanted to have done. It took him a while to realize it until what? Until they found the book of the what? Of the law of the Torah. This book we have before us. This is what
the law is good.
It is good.
It's holy.
And it's just.
It's just.
That's what Paul said.
Pure. Paul
said
that.
This
all lines up with what? The New Testament.
We haven't even
opened up the book. We haven't even gone to the New Testament. But look at all the scriptures that we've quoted from that's in the New Testament that Paul said or someone else said. You know, it is holy and it is just.
It's good for us. That's right. It's good for us.
It's healthy for us, spirit, soul, and body.
Now, a lot of things we don't do ceremonial that they did. We don't sacrifice animals and all that. But there's a spirit behind all of it that God wants us to know.
Well, there's already been one final sacrifice.
That's right. He's
Yeshua.
That's right.
God sent his only begotten son that he sacrificed. He gave of his son that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly and that we might have power over the works of the enemy.
So this will be
and
a man.
And the flesh as well.
Amen. This will be a man when we get to heaven that we'll get to meet King Josiah and have a chance to talk with him and
Thank you, Lord.
An incredible man of God, an example that God gave us in the Word of God. We got almost two chapters in the Bible talking about what King Josiah did and even how the prophet Jeremiah honored him all the days that he lived. It's incredible.
See, when you honor God, nobody's going to come against you. There's no enemy that's strong enough to stand against God.
That's why his name means what? Jehovah supports him.
Jehovah is Lord.
Supports
the Lord God
him. The Lord supports
him, and he will support anyone who chooses to follow God.
That's
so
right.
So what is this whitewashed Christianity? Well, that people want to be people pleasers, not God pleasers.
That's right.
We need to want to please God. And who cares what other people think?
God chasers instead of, or the people no, chasers instead of God.
We can't care. We can't be concerned with what other people think. We have to be only concerned about what God's word says and what God says to us. So we have to follow after God with our whole heart, our whole being.
That's right.
And then, you know, God fights for us. He will will honor those, and he will lift up those who are totally sold out to him. So we can't have a president that says he's a Christian and acts like a devil.
That's
you know, or a preacher who says he's a Christian and acts like
wrong.
A devil.
That's
lives
right.
the wrong thing. You know, you can't serve two masters.
I like to read chapter 34.
We're running out of time.
Yeah, we got 3.5 minutes. Chapter 34, the last verse, verse 33. You read it, but I want to read it again.
Mm-hmm.
And Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries mm-hmm. that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. All people in Israel today, whether you're a female or a male, you have to serve in the army a certain period of time for the nation of Israel. And they believe that. Even the women, they declared an honor to do that. And all his days, they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. What an incredible close
awesome.
To that chapter.
Thank you, Father.
And so we have to understand that. So the men and women, they consider it an honor to serve in the military to help protect their country and all that. And so we need to lift up our country in a great dimension. But you know, as I read through this, I've read this several times over the last week and a half, and I just see more and more about our country in here that we need a king, a president in place that is willing to step out and do some things and to break the tradition of the political arena. You know, everybody wants to be politically correct. Let's be biblically correct. You know,
I think about those judges that are
That's
in Washington,
right.
D.C. We
That's
need
right.
godly judges.
Yeah, on the Supreme Court, we certainly
That's,
do.
Yeah,
they make the right decisions.
How many are there?
Nine.
Nine men can make
and
it.
And one woman, I believe, now.
Make a choice.
Yeah.
Nine altogether.
Yeah.
Can make a choice that can change the whole country.
That's right.
So we just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Lord, we thank you for this radio broadcast. We thank you, Father God, for this teaching, Lord God.
Praise
we
you,
just
Lord.
Thank you, Father, for this day, Lord. We thank you for the Sabbath, Father.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for the people listening, oh God. We ask you to touch them, Lord, to move on their behalf, Father God, that they would seek truth, Father, and holiness. And without that, Lord, no one will see your face, oh God. So we just thank
Let's
you, Father
Let's all turn
God.
To God.
Thank you, Jesus.
We'll all turn to God.
Thank you. Salvation is in Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. No other
the
way.
Blood of the Lamb. He is the blood. He is the final sacrifice. He is the only sacrifice that will wash away our sins, cleanse us, and renew us. Amen. Give us a right spirit.
Thank you know, the Bible says things are going to get worse. It also says in these days that people's hearts are going to wax cold. We have that. So
well, we have services here in Stuart, Florida. We're running out of time. We have Friday night Shabbat services and also seeking God's presence in prayer and worship. And then we have Saturdays. So we have a class today, this afternoon at 4 o'clock. And then we have morning service tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. So if you'd like to come and worship with us, you want to ask a question, you want some information, you want a calendar, just give us a call. Our phone number here in Stuart, Florida is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that, area code 772-285-7007. It's Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries.
So as we close, we greet you again in the love of the Lord. And we on this program, we know, and because he told us years ago, that we want to raise the standard that you'll be brought into a deeper walk with the Lord. When we do, we'll obey his word, and you'll be blessed in everything that you do. So as we close this program again on this Saturday, we'll hope you'll be with us again next Saturday. We tell you to look up because your redemption draweth nigh. What do we say, Pastor?
Shabbat Dan? Shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of Prophecy.